Fifth one was, I forget. And no, I mean, you know, not I forget, but we forget about what God has done in our life, yeah. And this one, this morning, is lack of prayer. And I wanted to preface before I started the message this morning just with a couple things I had pulled. Some of this I've had for quite a long time, about the power of prayer. Because if we're going to talk about prayer, I hope we can start with a premise that prayer is real and prayer has an effect. And there's a couple things I wanted to share with you. One of these comes from Reverend John Piper that shares this about prayer. I just wanted to read this short paragraph. Humanity has a choice to make, either to be a warrior for Christ or to be neutered by Satan. As John Piper said, prayer is a wartime weapon, not a peacetime walkie-talkie. As Charles Spurgeon said, war will always be between two great sovereignties until one or the other is crushed. Peace between good and evil is an impossibility. All his servants, whether angels in heaven or messengers on earth, will and must fight. They are born to be warriors. The duty of every soldier is to fight against Satan. That, wow, those were real powerful words, stating something and not beating around the bush. Here's another one. There's some people that come to me and say, well, do you really believe in the power of prayer? They give a variety of reasons why prayer is maybe unnecessary. Some will say, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, so why do we even pray? I've heard that one many times before. And there's others who will say something to the effect of, I've prayed for years and years and years about this, that, or the other, and it does not seem that God answers my prayer. And so they come up with this idea that maybe there is no power in prayer. And I'm not going to read all of this, but this is from a Newsmax article several years ago about doctors indicating there definitely seems to be power in prayer. Medical research in leading hospitals across the U.S. has shown that people who pray are healthier and happier and live longer. Now, that's not everybody, but when you take a group, this is what happens. Studies have shown prayer can prevent people from getting sick. And when they do get sick, prayer can help them get better. An exhaustive analysis of 1,500 reputable medical studies indicates people who are more religious and pray more have better mental and physical health. Out of 125 studies that looked at the link between health and regular worship, 85 of them showed regular churchgoers lived longer. There's some others here. I'm going to skip a bunch of these, but it seems like prayer really has an effect. There was one here I wanted to read about cardiac health patients at San Francisco General Hospital. They looked at the effect of prayer on 393 cardiac patients. Half of them were prayed for by strangers who had no idea they were being prayed for. On the other half, apparently weren't being prayed for, or at least they weren't being asked by people to pray for. And those patients who had been prayed for, unbeknownst to them, had fewer complications, fewer cases of pneumonia, and needed less drug treatment. They also got better quicker and left the hospital earlier. You know, atheists can stare at faith all they like, but they can't assume science is on their side. And I believe that with all my heart. So I wanted to preface the sermon this morning with, indeed, there is power in prayer, and prayer is real. But that being said, why do we lack in prayer? I mentioned at the very beginning, there are some people who just don't believe in this power. They think maybe it's just the power of positive thinking. It's more than the power of positive thinking. Because you see, in prayer, what's really going on here is you're in relationship with a real divine entity. God. The triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are in relationship with Him as Christians. And we have a relationship. Because we have a relationship, we talk. Now, if you have a relationship with someone, don't you talk to them? Right? I'm assuming husbands are talking to their wives and wives talking to their husbands and that sort of thing. Mothers and fathers talking to their children and children talking to their mothers and their fathers. You see, if we're in relationship, we're going to be talking, aren't we? And in this, it's more than just the power of positive thinking. There are those who lack in prayer because their relationship with God may not be a priority. And if their relationship with God is not a priority, by extension, it may be that others are not a priority either. Because we just haven't made it a priority. There are some that lack in prayer because they want to be in control, and prayer seems to indicate that I'm not. Correct? Yes, that's the point. That is the point of prayer. I am not in control. You know what? When I try to take control, I make messes. When I give it over to God, it seems like it goes a bit more smoothly. Not that I always get the answers I really wanted, but when I give it to God, I am saying, I'm not in control. You are. You are, not me. There are those that lack in prayer because they seem to think prayer isn't effective for a variety of reasons. I want to throw some out here for you, and this is just kind of a shotgun approach about why sometimes our prayer might be ineffective, and some of these might really hit us. But here's some. And a text with it. You can look up these texts later or ask me about them if you want to. But disobedience in 1 Samuel 14:37, it's indicated there that disobedience kept them away from prayer being effective. Secret sin. Now, there's no secret sin to God, but we may be keeping it from others. Psalm 66, verse 18. Indifference. In Proverbs 1:28, that indifference can make our prayer ineffective. In Proverbs 21:13, if we neglect mercy, then sometimes our prayers are not answered. Here's one that should be clear to all of us. Proverbs 28, verse 9, if we despise God's law, how in the world could we expect God to answer a prayer? James 1, 6 and 7, instability. You know, being tossed around like the waves, and we're doubting and we just don't believe like we should. James 4, 3 talks about self-indulgence. When I'm all about me, how can we hear what God really wants to say? There are others, but here's just a few. And here's one last one I want to give you, which I think is one that a lot of us maybe don't recognize, but is true. Perhaps God is giving you an answer. Maybe it's an answer you don't want to hear. Maybe the answer is a delay, or maybe the answer is no. That doesn't negate the power of prayer. It does just the opposite. God's doing like our parents used to do when we as kids didn't think they knew best when they said the opposite of what we wanted them to say when it came to whatever it is we wanted to do, right? But parents want to do what's best for the child. And God wants to do what's best for the child. And so sometimes the answer is, no, you can't do that. Sometimes it is, you're going to have to wait. You're not mature enough yet. But I believe God is answering. We just may be not wanting to hear it. So I have this question as we continue on with this. If lack of prayer is the reason for why we don't share our faith, why did Jesus pray? If anyone didn't need to pray, you'd think Jesus didn't need to pray. But who was in the most intimate of all relationships with God? Jesus himself. Jesus was God come in human flesh. We don't understand the triune Godhead, and I could spend weeks, if not months, if not years, on talking about that, and I don't think I'd ever be able to fully explain it in a way that everybody goes, oh yeah. But Jesus prayed to the Father here in John. He prayed for himself in the first part of the chapter. He prayed for his disciples around him the second part of the chapter. And then he said, I want to pray for everybody else. That's us. I want to pray for everybody else. So if Jesus was praying to the Father, he must believe in the power of prayer. Right? He prayed to the Father because he was in relationship to the Father. And you know, that's the prerequisite for all of this. We need to be in relationship with him when we're praying to God. Jesus prayed to the Father because he was concerned for the future. Isn't that what evangelism is all about? Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. People who find themselves in crisis and they don't know Christ, they don't know what they need. And we're saying, if you're concerned about what's going on right now in the future, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus prayed to the Father because he wanted his death and resurrection to have the fullest effect. Don't we want to have our life as we live on this earth to have its fullest effect? To affect people in a positive kind of way? Just like Julie was sharing with us this morning about her shirt. She asked me to wear one. I forgot. But it's because... It's because my reunion has a lot more years than yours does. I just plumb forgot. I was going to wear something, you know, we call it witness wear shirts or whatever. And they do create conversation from time to time. Jesus prayed because he believed in the power of prayer. If Jesus needed or desired or saw fit to pray, how much more should we, when you think about it? How much more should we, if Jesus needed it, if Jesus desired it, if Jesus saw fit to do it? Why don't we? It's all about relationship. I heard a statement once, and it fits me because I was a sheep farmer at one point in time in my life. The statement is this: if you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. You like that? If you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. I do that from time to time. When I can't sleep and I'm just lying there in bed, might as well just pray. It's a good thing. You know, some people say, isn't it disrespectful if I fall asleep while I'm praying? I say just the opposite. What better thing to do than the last thing you think of before you fall asleep is God? Right? God loves that. That would be the last thing you think of when you go to sleep at night. And hopefully also the first thing you think of when you wake up. You see, I believe there's power in prayer, and it's all about relationship. And if it's all about relationship with God through Christ, then you and I, as we continue to deeply pray to God, then we'll start to realize that we have a concern just like Jesus did when he prayed in John. My prayer is not for them alone, that is the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us. So the world will know and may believe that you have sent me. That's what Jesus is saying in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. What kind of effect has Christ's death and resurrection had on you and me? Do you really believe in him? Do you really trust him? That even at those times in your life when you're praying and you don't think God is answering, God's hearing your prayer. He's hearing your prayer. And he might be waiting to answer. Oh, we hate that, don't we? I'm a part of McDonald's culture. You know, and then I go to a place like Dairy Queen where I want ice cream. It takes about 2 minutes more at Dairy Queen to get your food. Maybe even more than that. Arby's, they're a little slow too. You see what's going on here? If I want my food, I probably got to go to McDonald's if I want it fast because I'm really hungry. Or if I'm not really hungry yet, then we do the sit down. We want it all now. God doesn't always give it now. But you can know with all of your heart that if you are a child of God, he has a vested interest in what it is that you're praying to him about. And you may be immature in your understanding, and God's trying to make you more mature, like he has to make me from time to time. And maybe the answer is not yes. It might be no, or it might be wait. Trust him. Trust him with it. And I do want to also say this, because in the Gospels he talks about babbling as opposed to praying, so quality prayer is more important than quantity prayer. But you can't have quality time without some quantity time. You know what I'm saying? If I went to my kids and my grandkids and say, I'm going to spend 2 minutes with you, but it's going to be quality time. How can you get 2 minutes of quality time with someone? You see, quality time does demand a little bit of quantity time as well. So I encourage you and I encourage me in our relationship with Jesus Christ to pray often. Praying isn't always closing your eyes, or we'd all be dead, because then we'd be in our car and we wouldn't see what's ahead of us. Prayer is just conversation with God. Sometimes it's on our knees, sometimes it's begging and pleading God, and sometimes it's in the car, sometimes it's in our bed, sometimes it's outside in the hustle and bustle of what's going on in life. Whatever it is, pray often. Be obedient to Him. Trust Him with everything. When God says to do something, let's do it. When God says don't do something, don't do it. Practice righteousness. Practice holy living. Instead of doing what I want to do, let's practice the kind of living that God wants us to do. It might mean a lot of things for us. It may mean I've got to have a forgiving spirit, because I don't right now. I've got to clean up my mouth because I can't stop talking trash. You know, it may be any number of things, but practice righteousness. And be contrite. Just like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we don't get our act together, I'm putting it in my own words, if we don't get our act together, how can we expect God to bless us or our country? We have to get our act together too. We need to turn from our evil ways. And then God will respond. Be wholehearted. Have faith. And even the faith of a mustard seed is enough. You know what? It's the object of our faith, not the size of our faith. And the object of our faith is huge, right? It's God. The object of our faith is huge. And if you understand that, it only takes a little mustard seed of faith to start. That's the point of the text. And then I think if we do all these things, God's going to give us a heart for sharing the good news. Because we're in a relationship with Him. We aren't lacking in prayer. And God is showing us what He can do in our lives. And by extension, He can show us so that we can tell others what God can do in their lives as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for the power of prayer. I didn't need some scientific study to prove it. Maybe some did. God, I believe in the power of prayer, because as I look back at my life, You have answered many times. Sometimes You've turned me in a different direction because You knew what was best. And You do that for others as well. God, help us to not lack in prayer. Lord, if there's anything that hinders us, whether it's disobedience, sin, indifference, neglect of mercy, despising Your law, self-indulgence, whatever it is, Lord, take that away so that we can truly and honestly and earnestly be in a very intimate relationship with You. What's going to happen when that happens? Others are going to know about it because we can't help it. So we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in closing to our last hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, Jesus is your...